Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. I'm thinking this morning about the first line from our epistle lesson for today, which is the reading for Easter Sunday for a very good reason. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied, says the apostle. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. We like to think, and by we, here I mean very broadly, I'm thinking about the global West. How about? We like to think of our society that we have inherited as being powerful, as being wise, as being, dare I say, diverse. We have options. We have choices. We have freedom. Don't get me wrong, these things are not necessarily bad in themselves. But when you think about it, how many different choices of Oreos do we really need at Hy-Vee? You got the regular stuff, you got the double stuff, you got the ultra stuff, you got the thins. How many kinds of Doritos are we up to now? How many choices do we really need? Now look, I'm kidding, you know, capitalism, wonderful. Choices of Oreos, it's a great thing. It shows the wealth, like I said, and the power of our society. But there's a very serious problem, I'll call it, that comes along with all kinds of options and all kinds of choices that we are free to make. And this is a looming problem that maybe some people think about or some people talk about, but really is just kind of lingering in the back of every, again I'll say, Western human skull that is born on the face of this planet today. Every child grows up assuming that they can make all kinds of choices about all kinds of things. And any choice that they make is one choice among many. So again, for a trivial example, I can choose the stuff or the double stuff or the thins. I can choose peanut butter flavored or chocolate flavored. And this is funny because it's ridiculous. But we all also know there's all kinds of choices we can make about much more serious or seemingly important things. Which school should I send my kids to? How should I spend my time? Which career should I undertake? How should I use my money? How about this one? Which church should I go to? And in our society, choose whatever you like. There's one, you know, fine choice for you among many. You can choose this one, or you can choose that one, or you can choose the other one. And everyone sort of assumes, sort of just takes for granted that there's no consequences for this. You know, you choose for you. And this is nice as far as pluralism goes, as far as getting along with our neighbors. But the problem that lingers in the back of every Western human skull is a sort of dark despair and suspicion that none of the choices we make really make any kind of difference. Again, you can choose for you how you would like to conduct your life, how you'd like to conduct your marriage, how you'd like to raise your children in all kinds of different ways. And whichever way you choose, that's great for you. You know, that's fine. Maybe I'll choose differently, and look, we're both just fine. It doesn't make any difference what choices we make. This is a problem, if I can say it, identified by some as something called nihilism. This is the default method of people who are born into the Western world. We think, actually, nothing really matters. You choose whatever you like, and it makes no difference, really. Not in the end, because in the end, we're all just space dust. We die. We go into the dirt. And the dirt, I don't know, later on grows trees or something like that, but they'll just eventually die too. And so we say in our society, because we're a whole bunch of nihilists, you do you, I'll do me. Nothing really matters. That's one way. And I would say it's the default way for people who are born into our society. But brothers and sisters, that's one way, but it's not the way. We are gathered here today for the purpose of remembering and celebrating and commemorating the single event in the whole history of the world that means that choices actually matter. That what we do actually means something eternally. We are here today to celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And just to be clear, because we are all 21st century people, let me clarify what I mean by that, because there's all kinds of ideas about the resurrection of Jesus circulating around. Let's just be plain. When I say Jesus rose from the dead, what I mean is on Good Friday, some Romans, at the behest of some Jews, nailed him to a cross. And I don't mean they spiritually nailed him to a cross. I don't mean they kind of nailed him to a cross. I don't mean they thought about nailing him to a cross. I mean they took his body and they nailed it with metal nails into a cross. And they let him hang there until he died. And again, by death, I mean the normal sense of the word. His heart stopped beating. His neurons stopped firing. He was a corpse. Fair enough. Everybody know what a corpse is? Great, we're on the same page. They took his body off the cross. They laid him in a tomb, in a grave, where we bury dead bodies, because that's what he was. And what we're here to celebrate is his resurrection. And I don't mean he was spiritually resurrected. He was resurrected in all of our hearts. We all feel so nice because lilies are beautiful and they smell great. They do, okay? But we're here to celebrate the fact that Jesus' body, which was a corpse, became a living person again. His heart that had stopped beating started beating anew. His neurons that had stopped firing started firing anew. He sat up in his grave. He took his grave clothes off. He stood up and walked out of the grave bodily in the normal sense of the word. Got me? That's what we're here to celebrate. And that makes all the difference. Because as St. Paul says here in our epistle lesson towards the end now, I read you from the beginning, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Brothers and sisters, the cornerstone of the nihilism that infects us, that makes us think that none of our choices, none of the things that we do make any difference, is death. Like I said, in the assumption of most of our society, when we die, you just turn back into dirt and that's the end. So who cares what you do? But brothers and sisters, what is revealed today by the resurrection of our Lord is that death does not get the final word. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When Jesus got up again and was resurrected bodily from his tomb, What he revealed to the whole world is that death is not the end. That death is not a natural part of life that just is the way that it goes, but in fact that death is our last enemy, as the apostle says again, the last enemy to be destroyed. And he reveals that he is the one who on the cross and his temptation and his ministry and all the things that he did took death on and defeated it on behalf of the whole human race. And so he reveals to us that in his church, by sounding like a beating a drum that your pastor just beats, I know, by gathering together in his church and hearing his word and receiving his sacraments, that here in this place, what Jesus is doing by the power of his resurrection is imparting to you the eternal life that he has won after he swallowed up death forever. After he swallowed up death forever. And so what is revealed to us by the resurrection of our Lord and life in his holy church is that the world can never be the same again. We go and we make choices in our lives that maybe, if we were a bunch of nihilists, think, what difference does this make? What difference does it make? And yet we know that because Jesus is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, that the entirety of my life, therefore, is redeemed. And so every choice that I make, everything that I do, is informed by his word and informed by the fact that my life, that my eternal life that he has won for me, begins now. And so that means that every single second of every single day and every choice that I make, even the stupid ones about which Oreos I buy, which again, buy whatever kind you want, are informed by the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Should I do this or that? Well, you know what? Jesus rose from the dead, so I think that. How should I be as a husband, as a father? How should I be as a mother, as a daughter? How should I be as a member of a society where people are wandering around thinking that nothing they do matters, that there is no meaning in the world? And the answer to that question for every single one of us is formed and shaped foundationally by the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Let me just, I didn't say this morning, but it just came into my mind. You guys know, many of you know, my kids gave up sweets for Lent. So, much rejoicing. My oldest son was with me last night. We went to the Easter Vigil, where Easter begins. And so on the way home, I thought, I'm getting this kid a candy bar. He's waited for 40 days. And we go into the Quick Trip, and we get the Twix bar, and we stand in the checkout line. And I think, does this cashier who's checking out this weird-looking priest guy and a little kid, does she know that Jesus rose from the dead? What about these people in line around me? Do they know, these college students, because I live by the university, do they know that Jesus rose from the dead? Do they know why this kid is dressed in a suit coat right now and he's buying a candy bar? Do they know that it's because in celebration of the resurrection he's going to have a piece of chocolate? Brothers and sisters, Jesus rose from the dead and the world will never be the same. He has redeemed you by the power of his blood, and he calls you into the gathering of his holy church and here discloses to you the mysteries and the wonders of his word. And he strengthens you and he encourages you and he empowers you with his sacraments. He forgives you all your sins because he shed his blood for them. And now he proclaims to you, as the apostle said, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Brothers and sisters, we gather here today to acknowledge, to celebrate in, and to rejoice the fact that on your behalf, your Lord destroyed death once and for all. And that now, because he lives an eternal and fulfilled life, so too do you. Because Jesus rose from the dead, your life is not meaningless. But in the Lord, your life is meaningful and it is eternal. And as I said before, it begins now. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.